I'm tired. I get these nights where I stay up, where it's not my fault, and tonight was not one of those nights. I actually had to work at grinding away at this game though, but did it about 8 hours ish into the game, a little less with breaks and stuff like that. I just reached chapter 4, and Cloud and Tifa are both at level 14. Where are you at, Brian?
I'm still in chapter 3. Tifa and Cloud are both at level 16. And I've just been grinding, trying to get all the side quests. I think I've got one or two left that I still haven't unlocked.
There's like a, I think I got all of them except for that nerdy little kid who wants me to like put like 15 creatures in pressured mode and hit them with special ability. I'm just like, I don't know if your materia is fucking worth it.
I've been working on some of those. The only one that annoyed me was the cat one.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is stupid. But everything else, as far as the side quests, I was enjoying.
Yeah, it's go beat something. Go beat something up.
You have to explain to the audience that we've not slept.
Yes. We started playing right at midnight. As soon as the game said start after that god awful clock that's been taunting me for days, for weeks, and we said we wanted to do a review of our first 6 to 8 hours ish for you guys as soon as we possibly could. And well, like literally just put the controllers down 15 minutes ago.
Yes.
good morning to everyone, which will soon be good night for me. But this is LR Mornings today with Kyle and Brian, like you already heard. Brian, couple of sentences on just on your first reaction to getting to play the whole game beyond the demo. That there was some stuff that was not in the demo that actually is in that first bombing mission, and that beautiful opening video. Just your impression of the game. Go.
The most fun I've had with Final Fantasy since probably 12.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Not really, because all you had was 13 and 15.
Well, 13, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
15.
And 15 was actually, I liked 15.
Yeah, this seems to have taken a lot of ideas from 15 and improved them, in my opinion. I'm having a blast. And look, you could say there's nostalgia as part of it, and maybe there is, but I think the one thing that I absolutely love is the banter and the character interaction. Now, 15 did a good job with that too, with the core group of characters. But I mean, there's a great line, and just the way it's delivered early on when Barrett is like, he's asking how old you are, and you start going off, and he said. He's like, I asked your age, not your goddamn rank. And like, that's the exact, but it's like stuff like that constantly. Yeah. And the characters, you just enjoy the interaction they have with each other.
There's a lot more to the characters. All of them, Jesse, Biggs, Wedge, Barrett, and of course, Tifa. I'm also thoroughly impressed with that. The visuals are absolutely gorgeous. I would knock probably a half point off of my entire score for this game simply because of the lack of detail on the non-essential NPCs. Like, there's a noticeable difference in quality between the town folk or people sitting on a train and your core characters. Like, I know that there's a lot on the screen for the processors to render and put up, but yeah, that there's a pretty noticeable difference there.
Well, it's weird because it's sort of like some are horrible, the NPCs, and then some are decent, like the little girl that the cat mission. She's a decently done, and it's in the cats. Shit, the cats look pretty good.
If you're going to interact with them, I think they look better than the ones that you just kind of like can hear talking as you walk by. And there's a lot of that, like you said, banter. You can listen into some weird conversations people have, and Sector 7 slums, the more shit you do around the area, the more monsters you kill, the more they're talking about you. There's so much more to this game. It's like everybody that played the demo knows that played out pretty much the same as it did in the original game. And in the original game, after that, you go and you set up the plan for the next bombing mission, which goes awry because Shinra gets the drop on you. And that all happens pretty quickly. But like we said, we just spent 6 to 8 hours with this game, and I just left the slums for a side mission that is it's part of the main game, but it's not part of the story of going on the second bombing mission. So I'm going to go back to the slums, I'm assuming, and be able to do more side shit or level grinding. But I can see how somebody can spend already I can see how there's 30, 40 hours of stuff to do in this game. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I would even say it depends on how you play. Because as some gamers were like, yeah, you know, they shot through the game fairly quickly and they did it in about 30 hours. I could see pushing it into the 45 plus just the way I play. But there's plenty to do. And it is set up in a way where if you do want to ignore a lot of the side stuff, I think you could just push through the main story. Because I noticed a lot of places the game really helped you out by placing, you know, a shop or just the things you'll need in order to progress. So the game, I think, is set up where, hey, if you just want to sit down, you want to burn through this thing in 25, 30 hours, you have that option. But if you really want to get into the game, you want to check every nook and cranny for chests, you want to grind out your characters to max level, get all the gear, you know, you can do that as well.
Yeah. We got to talk a little bit about the battle system when we talked about the demo. Now you're in a lot more deep into this battle system. Yeah. More abilities, more materia, summons, and all of that type of stuff. What are you thinking about the battle system now?
The battle system, it's fun. It's each new enemy is a puzzle that you have to solve. What is it that affects them the most? Some of the simpler enemies, you can almost button mash through them, but a lot of them you can't. And I found when, like, I was escaping the city before you get on the train, there were a couple enemy types that were kicking my ass.
The shielded soldiers.
The shields, those, and especially the red one, like right before you get on. I still didn't figure out how the hell what his weakness was. So you have to figure out how to attack the enemies. What are their weaknesses? How to approach them? You can't just butt mash your way through the whole game. You'll get whooped.
Yeah,
which is cool. I love that. I love the fact that it's an action RPG, yet there's the level of strategy. You can't just tap X.
In this case, square.
Square, yeah.
Yeah. Which got me in trouble a couple times because I'd start hitting X. And I'm like, no, why is it going into the command menu?
I kept screwing up with the R1 is block, and I keep wanting to click R2. No, it's R1. I kept clicking L1.
R1.
Yeah, it is R1.
Yeah, and that one brings up your special, your mapped out buttons that you've put stuff for. I think, and I could be wrong because I'll tell everybody this: don't bother fucking trying to grind or get enemies to respawn until you get to the Sector 7 slums and you go through what's that place called? Scrapyard.
I think I have it in my phone. Hold on.
Scrapyard you. Boulevard or something like that.
Shit.
Yeah.
Scrap Boulevard. Yeah.
Scrap. Yeah. There's the first time that enemies actually will respawn.
You'll receive a second sword at a point. It's mm-hmm. And once you do that, you can go to the scrap area. And if you want to just hang out there for a couple hours and just grind away, feel free. You can level up pretty quick. There's the you have to open this gate. You'll know what I mean when you get there. That'll respawn the boxes, and they have loot in them. And if you can walk that circle over and over and over,
yep, yeah. There's some additional areas that will open up for you to grind at in Sector 7 as well a little bit later. I was pleasantly surprised by the new mechanics, like the weapons upgrade.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is very, very cool. They have their own SP, I think it's called.
Yes.
And you earn it through actions, battles, and stuff like you do AP and XP. You can select like upgrading your weapon +5 attack, +6 magic, +10% more damage if you're at max HP, all sorts of things like that. So you can really customize the weapons, and it's not just Cloud's, it's Tifa's too. So I'm assuming it's everybody's. And at first I thought it was going to be like a cheesy way to keep us from like getting a whole bunch of swords. But then I saw in the digital art notebook that came with it, no, there's still plenty of fucking swords you're going to get to use in this game. So I'm pretty excited about that. Were there any new systems or things that really caught your eye?
Well, as far as what you were just saying about the weapons, even if there weren't a whole lot of weapons, you get to upgrade these things. Mm-hmm. And so it's really cool. You can add materia slots, everything. And I just love the fact that, going back to the grinding, even if you don't grind, if you just want to play through the game, every battle you engage in nets you not only gil, some loot drops, you're going to get experience for your character, experience for whatever materia you have equipped, and your weapons. So yep. You're constantly gaining experience and upgrading everything. Like every 20 minutes, if you're grinding, stop and you can upgrade just about everything.
Mm-hmm. And the materia upgrades on its own.
Yes.
As you go along, and then when you want to use like Kira or Fyra instead of Cure or Fire in the command menu, you highlight that spell and then you push left or right to go to the higher or lower form if you zoom past the level you were wanting to use, because like Kira after level 3 goes to regen before you get to Kiraga, so You might have to go backwards anyways. I'm a fucking mental zombie now.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm sipping this coffee trying to... that kid,
go ahead.
I can't remember his name. He looks like a Final Fantasy 13 or character. He's the one that gives you the scanning thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of sticks out. I'm not complaining about it, but he does not... to me, fit in with the world. He just sort of seems like a more modern Final Fantasy
Well,
character.
He says that he works for Shinra. But he's working from within to bring them down. And so he's like a top dweller, which they were all wearing business suits and stuff. I could see where a kid could be a little different. Research nerd.
He had... if you do research for him, he gives you special materia that you can buy.
Yeah.
But he also has the ability, if you level up weapons and you're not happy with what you did, he can reset it for you for a price.
Mm-hmm. And you get to keep all of the points. You don't have to re-earn the points, which is, I haven't done it, but just knowing that if there's a certain configuration of your weapon that's not working out for you, you can reset it. I'm wondering how deep that system's going to go. And that's not the only thing that affects your stats. Materia still affects your stats. Some will raise your HP, MP, raise certain stats. Other ones lower certain stats. So that tactical mindset you had to have playing the original seven of, okay, I'm going into this dungeon. I've ran into these types of enemies before. I need more magic defense because this, you know, I don't need as much physical defense because the enemies in here, they're all using fucking magic and shit like that. And I can see when I get to some familiar other familiar areas where there's definitely going to be more menu time in this game than regular Final Fantasy VII. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think especially once you get your full party, because just with the two, I kept going, you know, like I said, I was grinding, going through the menu. I made sure I got enough money so I could go buy, you know, the best items and upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
When you add in the other two characters, yeah, you're going to be doing that for all of them. And you know, it is fun knowing that you can really choose the role of the characters and you know, how you, want to play. You can change it up if you want. That's always fun. It's the flexibility is fun.
Yeah. What we haven't hit yet, and I don't know if it's in there or not, is like in Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy 15, the kind of way to change the personality and style of play that your NPCs and your crew, the way they, you know what I'm saying? Like in Kingdom Hearts, you can tell Donald, hey, I want you to heal all the time, but use items more than magic. And Goofy, I want you to attack your own enemy. I don't want you to attack my enemy. And all the gambit systems in 12. I'm hoping we can get like once we have a party of three, they realize how much is really going on and can kind of help you out a bit. I really hope they're not planning on, okay, there's distant enemies, go to Barret right now, knock out the distant enemies, now jump back to Cloud and take care of these middle enemies, and then jump to Tifa to take the close enemies.
Yeah.
Like that could get, that there were times in some of the early battles where I felt overwhelmed, sometimes switching between characters. And remembering to do that and looking down at that bottom right hand corner for low hit points, What I like is the character will tell you, gotta heal up, or, oh, I'm almost dead, and kind of give you an auditory reminder of, oh shit, yeah, you need to heal your characters.
I felt the first boss was more difficult than it was in the demo. I didn't die, but I damn sure came close several times.
Cloud died once, and Barrett had to resurrect his ass, and because it's since it's that action RPG blend, there's a lot going on the screens. There's a lot to this combat system. Like people that were concerned that it would be button mashing, like some said, you know, Final Fantasy 15. Once you have your character set to do what they need to do, you can button mash through. You can almost warp strike. There's the word I'm looking for. Warp strike your way through Final Fantasy 15. I don't think it was necessarily that easy, but this is a gamer's game. This is not for a casual person. Like,
not on the normal setting. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No. I don't, easy setting. I haven't played it on easy, but I've watched some people play it on easy. Mm-hmm. The beginning part, it's pretty damn easy. If you set it on easy, they're breezing through stuff. And there was a gamer, he said he beat the game in about 25 hours on easy, shooting through the story. So if you just want story, you know, that's another flexible thing. The game gives you that option if you just want it easy. But if you play it on the normal setting, no, there's a challenge. It's a challenge. You know, you have to have a, like you said, it forces you to think tactically and how you're going to approach each battle.
Yeah. Yeah. Downers besides the NPC graphics from time to time, any downers that you've encountered so far?
Not that I can think of, still so early. Like I said, so far with the side quests, most of them have been fine. The one I did not like at all,
where you go had to find some damn cats.
Go find some cats. It was a pain in the ass.
Sector 7 is huge now.
I am curious as the game progresses and more side quests become available, what would the mix be of I like and what I don't like. So, but besides that, no, nothing negative. I like the menus. I like, the combat, the leveling. I'm enjoying it. Now there's a few, and maybe we'll go into that here in a second. Clearly there's some story, adjustments or changes.
I don't really want to spoil anything, but there definitely is some additions and some slight changes to the story, it seems.
Yeah.
Some scenes that you don't normally see until you're in the town of Calm, you'll see some visions, some scenes from that point of the game, in the original, while you're still in Midgar here. I think that's a good way to put it, right?
Yeah, if you don't want to do spoilers, yeah.
Yeah.
For the story. And they introduce you to some things that I'm, like, curious to where this is going.
Yep.
Clearly, the game is not a direct scene for scene remake, you know.
There are times where you remember the lines from the original game and stuff like that. Without being too spoilerish, what is one of the changes that you think is happening or is happening?
Well, just there's a character you're introduced to. In your room next to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So, I don't want to get into spoilers, but you're introduced to a character very early in the slums. He's got a room right next to you. You get like a little apartment.
His name's Marvel.
Yes. And that combined with some stuff that happens when you encounter Aerith. I don't know. Yep. I'm just curious to where that's all going.
Because none of that stuff's in the original game. I'm trying to remember the name of the guy that was in, I think it was the Sector 5 slums that was sick in his little tube home, if his name was Marco or not. And they found a way to kind of combine, because Marco's not doing very well. I'll say that he seems kind of sick. And I'm wondering if they combined that those characters together a bit or something like that. It'd be interesting.
Now here's a question for you. As a hardcore FF7 fan, are you concerned about changes?
No. I'm really not. I don't think they would wander too far from the core story, from the very important story beats, the reason why characters are who they are. I think all that will remain intact. You run into that that new soldier, the first new original main bad guy of the game so far. Other than like those shielded soldiers, you know, those were new. You didn't have soldiers with shields in the game, but Roche, you meet him in chapter 4, and even him, he's kind of a goofy character. I didn't mind him being in it at all, though. I'm completely fine with it. Now, that's not to say that, you know, 6 more hours into the game they could do something to completely just piss me off.
And I only ask you because
pull some Uber SJW shit or something like that.
You're one of those guys that plays this game yearly. You know, there are those just fans about that, you know, play this game almost every year. So, you know, I know I haven't played it in, oh shit, over 10 years.
Yeah.
But, so I know, you know, you really care about the story. And just, like I said, I don't know where it's going, but they're clearly introducing some elements that make me scratch my head and say, oh, and what are we doing?
I think that might be trying to correct some of the odd story elements from the original game. Some of the stuff that didn't quite make it through translation quite well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is a way to flesh it out to where it'll make more sense to more people.
Yeah, maybe.
Could you see it? That especially that one situation you were talking about. Can you kind of see where I'm thinking?
Yeah.
Cool. I can't think of anything bad to say, man.
Did you encounter summons yet?
Yes, I have used it.
Okay.
I got the digital edition, and you actually get the ability to use summons before you get your first one. And if you have the digital DLC, you'll be able to slide in one of your summons. But I felt like the area and the beasts in Sector 7 were not difficult enough, and the area was too small that I wouldn't get a good feel for summon combat, because it's different. They stick around. They do some damage. They don't just come in, do their one hit and then leave. So I want to make sure that I don't want to be fighting like a big boss, but I would like maybe some space. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Before I use them, I will say you get quite a bit of materia very early in this game, almost to the point to where you don't have enough slots for it unless you go buy upgraded armor and upgrade your weapons through the new weapon upgrade system. It's guys, there is a lot here. If you are a good gamer, but never really gave Final Fantasy VII a chance, but I mean you're good at multitasking, keeping track of multiple things on screen, I could see how this could be your first Final Fantasy, and I think you'll like it. Do you agree or disagree with that assessment, Brian?
I agree. As far as AAA JRPGs or, you know, action RPGs, I mean, this is what we've been wanting. Like I said, it's, you know, this is what I've wanted for years out of Square.
For five years since they announced it.
Yeah, that too, yeah. I mean, look, Square has been experimenting for many years after, hell, I guess starting with 12, trying to find a new way, you know, a more action-oriented way of doing their games. And to me, this is the culmination of all of those years of them experimenting.
This is like a level in between 12 and 15.
Yes.
But perfected.
And that's how I really feel as far as the combat and even the leveling stuff. It just really feels like they finally, it's clicking with them on, you know, this is the way to go as far as the wanting to have the more action-oriented stuff.
Getting Western audiences.
Yes.
And yet having enough J in the JRPG left to be fun for Eastern audiences. And like I said, if you're a Fallout player, if you're an Elder Scrolls player, there's less menu time so far than those games.
Yeah.
But if you are a game, I almost said Game of War. If you're a not Medal of Honor, what's the other one? Call of Duty type gamer, where you are capable of keeping track of lots of stuff on screen, but you've never tried Final Fantasy games. Maybe because the old ones seemed too childish. You heard really bad things about 13. You're not an MMO guy, so 11 and 14 wasn't your bit. And maybe just for some reason you didn't try 15. I'd say go try 15. I think their tagline of a Final Fantasy for fans and newcomers alike is good. But I actually think this is better. This is a better option for you to play your first Final Fantasy game. And like Brian said, or at least heard and seen on YouTube, that easy mode, even if you're not a big gamer, that easy mode will allow you to enjoy one of the most beloved games in video game history. And this is the one, man. Like I said, 5 years they finally told us they were making it, and we had a delay, and then we had assholes breaking street dates, and then Square Enix being like, "No, fuck you, North America, you're still gonna have to wait. How dare you do the right thing?" It is what it is. So parting words or parting wisdom for people that are going to be going to stores today at 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning and purchasing it, what do you have to say for them?
I spent $60 and I already feel like I got my money's worth. So there you go. In 8 hours of the gameplay. I mean that. This is a game I know I'll be grinding through, and I'll be playing another, you know, 20, 30 hours of, and you know, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Do you have to work this weekend, Brian?
This weekend? No. No, I'll be playing this. Well, I got some stuff to do today, which, it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
So bad. But after I do that, I should be home pretty early. I'm going to crash, sleep, and I'll get up tonight and I'll be playing this for the next 48 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I've said my piece. This is a great jumping on point for anybody that's never given Final Fantasy a fair shake, because of either the old timey turn-based thing just really turns you off, or the more recent games haven't gotten as resounding what's the word I'm looking for, reviews or whatever. This is everything that I had hoped from the game, just about. Like I said, there's still some time for some further improvements, but if they don't come, I'm still okay with this product. It has been worth the grueling, mean timers staring me in the clock every time I turned on my PS4, worth the wait. So there we go. You guys, tell us in the comments what you think after you've gotten a chance to play it. What you think of mine and Brian's assessment of it. And then make sure you check out LRMOnline.com every single day for all of your entertainment news needs and opinions. Make sure you're checking out the, I almost said just the SoundCloud channel, but we're not endorsed by them. And although I do like SoundCloud for podcasts, because we can put them in nifty little playlists for you guys. We are everywhere else, Spotify and Apple and Google and all that good stuff. LRM Online Podcast Network. A lot of great shows on there. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of content. Did you know we're over 200 episodes on LR Mornings now, Brian?
Damn, no.
yeah, hit that last week, 200 episodes. So and we cover all sorts of things, and then we have some really cool, like, nostalgia bullshit episodes where there wasn't much news, and so check out the past, as well as subscribe so you can check out the future. And we do have a YouTube channel with lots of great content later on today. I believe Jammer still has plans to do Los Fanboys live around 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. So check that out live on YouTube, and then it'll later on be uploaded to the podcast network. Brian, besides playing Final Fantasy VIII, you got some things you do on the interwebs. What is that?
Yeah, you can check me out on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos. That's PULPMYTHOS. It's one word, and currently doing Westworld content.
There you go. You guys can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully I'll be a little bit more less sleep deprived. Who am I kidding? No, I won't be. All right, we'll talk to you guys Monday. Bye.